Blog Talk Radio.
Dear Heavenly Father, Father God, we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to still continue to even be able to give you praise here on this earth and not have rocks falling on us. Father, we pray for the people that have been trapped and are trapped inside the building that collapsed down in the Miami area, Father. Father, there are people that are suffering across this world their suffering is of a magnitude that most of us cannot relate to. And in many cases, we're not even aware of it. Father, we're coming upon a time when we will need a supernatural touch of your wisdom that is beyond our comprehension, but we can sense that we're going to need it. We sense that we need it even now. Father, there's going to come a time it tells us that people will be so needy, so reaching out, so scared, so hungry, so without jobs, so desperate that those of us who are blessed by you, Father, there's no way that our own ability to survive will be sustained with the earthly funds that we have to be able to survive with. But if we were to give every time our heart felt compassion to give. And Father, these days are coming upon us where we are going to be surrounded by brothers and sisters who, for whatever reason, maybe did not properly prepare themselves, maybe did not spend enough time in prayer. Father, we're going to need your wisdom to understand at what point it is that you know, we're going to need to hear that still small voice. We're going to have to hear that voice in our ear behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the left hand or whenever you turn to the right. Father, the days of need and the days of hearts waxing cold, Father God, you know, just are so all around us, and we see the aftermath, and indeed an increasing, in some cases, aftermath associated with the pandemic and the jobless situation that is out there affecting so many people, Father. And then there are those who are struggling because of sicknesses and health issues, and we have family members that are struggling as well, and we see the wave, the tidal wave of sorts, of so many different apocalyptic events heading our way. The people that are living in the west coast of the United States of Babylon the Great, also in other parts of the world, certainly different pockets of areas across Asia and Europe. Father, they're seeing the apocalyptic fires beginning again. We have now four humongous wildfires that have already started in this country. I'm sure probably if I had taken the time to look that there are wildfires that are starting in other countries as well. Lord, we see the increase in the tropical type storms, the hurricanes, these, they have so many, there's different, in some cases, even hurricanes, by virtue of the fact that they occur over land. We see the crevasses, we see the volcanoes popping off, we see the ever increasing things that are referred to as climate change, but we know that it's not just climate change, but it's catastrophic climate change that it has nothing to do with warming or cooling, but swings of temperature, swings of extreme winters, and deep swings of exceedingly hot long summers, Father God, and then the weather that comes along with it, the crevasses in the earth, the sinkholes that are occurring, the cataclysmic flooding, the rising of the oceans. All these things are being blamed on the wrong things by the paganists. But yet at the same time, Father, it is kind of doesn't really matter because we're all here as a part of it. We have been chosen for a time such as this, obviously and evidently, and in accordance with Proverbs 39:16, Father God, and Ephesians 2:10. And we thank you for helping us to understand that these things, many of these things of which we are going through, are part of our predestination, that these are things that perhaps in accordance with the testimonies of so many people that have been taken to heaven, or perhaps even things that we have requested to be made a part of. Yet at the same time, Father, we struggle with the days that we have in our very midst at this time. Many of us are having very hard times, you know, dealing with just the day-to-day existence of keeping the lights on and dealing with the repairs and the things that are associated with, you know, keeping those lights on and keeping a roof over our head, while at the same time we have people that are reaching out to us for help. Father, at what point, we don't know. We're just going to have to listen for that little small voice and be able to give with joy, be able to give within a phenomenal amount of supernatural trust, because without that trust, we would knee-jerk into a state of the flesh, and we would want not to give and to touch other people's lives and to help them when they are in need. But that would be antichrist. That would be absolutely the opposite of our Lord Jesus Christ and our admonishment in the Holy Word. And so, Father, we're going to have to lean so much more on you in the days to come. Not that we don't need to now, but we recognize the size of the, if you will, metaphorical freight train that is heading at us. It's coming very slow, but it's humongous. It is absolutely as big as a quarry truck. It is loaded with a lot of darkness and evil, and it is coming toward us. Yes, ever so slowly, but nevertheless, with humongous impact, impact that we cannot prepare for, cannot anticipate. There is no savings that we can depend upon. There is no amount of food that we can store. We have to believe and trust in everything. We have to absolutely believe that when we talk to that mountain will be cast down into the sea by the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, for an anointing and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit gift of faith and the Holy Spirit gift of wisdom. And the Holy Spirit gift of love and the Holy Spirit gift of discernment, for those four gifts, Father God, together can bring us to a place where we would be significantly increased in our ability to be able to sense and to move and to flow in the fruits of the Spirit in accordance with your will, and to hear that still small voice in a manner that we would not be hindered. We pray, Father, if there is anything in our lives at all, any behaviors, thoughts, behavioral patterns that we need to shift out of, that we need to inject other activities into, to break up those patterns that may cause us to fall into a state of self-pity, perhaps depression for whatever reason. Father, we have a lot of difficulties that are in the midst of this very crumbly narrow path that we are trying to maintain our course on. And we pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you will continue to pour out your mercy, that you will continue to pour out all of these gifts that we ask of you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord Jesus, that we will see a real and legitimate, absolutely manifested before our eyes like a miracle that we can hardly believe Mark verse 11, 23, that whatever we pray, believing that we shall receive it, that as you promised, Lord Jesus, will be given to us. We are holding that scripture up before your supreme court in heaven, and we are depending on you, our Lord Jesus Christ. If we have sin in our lives that we are having a struggling time getting rid of, if there are things or repetitive patterns in our behaviors that are not exactly what they need to be in accordance with your complete obedience, Father, I have them. I know that there are other people that may be unwilling to admit that they have them. There may be people out there that do admit that they have them. Whatever it is, Father God, that is in our makeup, in our emotional attributes, in the waxing and waning, and in the roller coaster ride of our lives as we deal with the ever increasing motion of this impactful, apocalyptic, slow moving train that is coming directly at us. We pray in the name of Jesus, in accordance with Mark 11:23. Lord Jesus, you gave us that promise. You said whatever we ask in prayer, believing, it will be given us. And we are lifting that scripture up before your high holy supreme court, because you are God and you would not lie. And we are depending upon you, Lord Jesus, for answering these prayers. We know a lot of times, if it isn't 99% of the time, that when we ask for something, there is a long pause. It takes sometimes years for us to get the answer that we're looking for. In the meantime, we're in tears, we're on our knees, we're seeking you. And we understand the scripture that says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. To understand that the very word afflicted does not necessarily mean sick, but can also mean troubled or having difficulties or going through trials and tribulations or dealing with emotional swings that can lead us into feelings or behaviors that are not within the perfect walk of your holiness and righteousness, Father. And that's what we want. We pray in Jesus' name and hold up before you, Lord. Matthew 5:6, for he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. In accordance with the scriptures and the vision that was given to Zechariah in chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Father God, we pray that you, as you did the high priest Joshua, that you will take and completely remove all of our filthy garments from us and cleanse us and totally purify us with your hyssop and make us whiter than snow. Create in us a clean heart. Wash us, Father God, with your hyssop, we pray. Place a clean turban upon our head. Make us righteous to stand before thee. Father, we hold up your scripture, the words that you spoke through your servant and prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 43 verse 25, where you stated, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Keep me in remembrance and let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Your first father sinned and your mediators have transgressed against me. But Father, our mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we plead his blood upon us this evening and every day that we awaken, even those days when we are too depressed, too encumbered, have had too horrible of a night's sleep, our schedule is all dorked up, we're under too much pressure, and we miss that precious time. that time when we want to pray, that time when we want to be there. It doesn't happen for some of us. Maybe it happens more often than not, depending on whether or not we have family and children and things to take care of. And then for others of us, maybe there is no excuse. And Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus that you will strengthen us. You will help us to all find that extra time. That you will give us a boost of energy, even on those nights when we find our eyes just stuck to the ceiling at 2 o'clock in the morning, not understanding why we can't sleep. Blaming it on perhaps our jobs, blaming it on perhaps our concern about the future, worrying about whatever it is we should not be worrying about. Holy Father God, we pray for that gift of faith, for with that gift of faith comes kind of like a domino effect of supernatural anointings upon all aspects of our lives and our walk with you. We need that more than anything. We want all the other gifts as well. We pray, Father, that we might be able to glorify you. Lord Jesus, we pray that as we hold up your very words before you in humility, knowing that we are unworthy to receive such grace, that you will remember that we are dust. Love us as we know that you do, and fill us with a divine, supernatural, and miraculous strength that we don't feel worthy to receive and would be, well, indeed surprised. Not an act of not having faith. We are willing and more than happy and encouraged and filled with excitement to believe that we shall receive. And we don't come asking for these things because we don't believe, because if we didn't believe, we wouldn't bother to ask at all. And we're coming before you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We're coming before you, Lord Jesus, in accordance with those words which you spoke. And we're asking you, please, do not delay, as Daniel said in Daniel 9:19. Please, Lord, do not delay. We need this extra help now. We know that the throne room has got to be exceedingly busy. We know that it must take incredible, fervent prayer that is consistent and persistent to push those petitions to the top of the docket. And we're praying in the name of Jesus together that you will hear us as one voice, united as a corporate prayer across this world, lifting up all of the things that we lift up before thee in our prayers, believing and knowing, because we, by virtue of us even being here, we're believing. It is a step of faith. It is an act of faith. And we believe that you hear our prayers, and we know that you are going to answer them. For you are not a man that you should lie. And we only ask for an anointing, supernatural long-suffering, and a smile of joy as we await the inevitable answer to all of our prayers. All of our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. And amen. Tonight is June the 25th of 2021, the 15th of Tammuz, 5781. The next holiday is the 17th of Tammuz. That will be June the 27th of 2021, which is just a couple of days from now. Hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. And tonight, together, we light the Sabbath candles, or the Shabbat candles, if you prefer. I like to light three, one for the Father, one for the Son. I got my long lighters now, so I don't have to burn my fingers. And one for the Holy Spirit, praise God. I love tea lights. Like to buy them by, you know, the bulk, hundreds at a time. Get them so cheap. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. We pray for your anointing. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill us this evening. Anoint us, Father God. Fill us. Purify us, Lord God. Let nothing hinder our prayers. Let the fire of God shoot down from the glory pillar and burn into screaming and horrific agony any entity that would attempt to come against our prayers in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We pierce through the darkness by speaking in tongues, because those prayers cannot be hindered. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, the Hebrew Kaddish.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei peri hagafen Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kitchanu b'mitzvotav v'ratzavanu, v'shabat kodsho v'ahava uv'ratzon hinchilanu, zikaron lemaaseh v'reishit. Ki hu yom techila lemikrae kodesh zecher yetziat mitzrayim. Ki vanu vacharta v'otanu kidashta mikol ha'amim, v'shabbat kodshecha be'ahava uv'ratzon hinchaltanu. Baruch atah Adonai mekadesh HaShabbat.
Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me. For you are my dove, hidden in the split open rock. It was I who took you and hid you up high in the secret stairway of the sky. Let me see your radiant face and hear your sweet voice. Because how beautiful your eyes are in worship, and how lovely your voice is in prayer. You must catch those troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship. For they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I've planted within you. Will you catch them and remove them for me? We will do it together.
My heart, humble my heart, humble my heart, Lord, let me always long for you and humble my heart. Lord, let me always lean on you and humble my heart. Humble my heart. Humble my heart. Lord, let me always walk in you and humble my heart. Humble my heart. Humble my heart. Lord, let me always worship you and humble my heart. Humble my heart, humble my heart, Lord, let me always trust in you and humble my heart. Let's hope in you and humble my heart. Let me always follow you and humble my heart. Lord, let me always follow you and humble my heart.
Dear Heavenly Father, Father God, we part the spiritual realm as the Red Sea above the lands that are suffering at the greatest level right now, and in the places where cataclysms are occurring, even those which we are unaware. Father, we are aware that a building has collapsed down in the Miami area, but we are probably very much unaware of which housing developments are being affected by the massive wildfires that have just recently started in the western part of the United States. Father God, we are not aware of the travesties, the bombs that are most likely being rolled into, even as we speak, from Boko Haram into church organizations in parts of Africa, and some of the most awful persecution that is occurring or happening to our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world, in particular China, and always in places like Pakistan and India and such like that. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus as we part the spiritual realm in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ for safe passage for heaven's angels, heaven's resources, and heaven's power to flow freely in accordance with our calling down those powers and by the mighty name of the Lord Jesus that has been given to us. In accordance with the very words that you spoke, Father God, for your own sake, you have wiped us clean of our sins and you will not remember them. And that you ask us to contend together, that we should pray together. This is part of your divine will. And in accordance with your divine will, Father God, we pray down in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus for you to send and dispatch, well, an innumerable company of angels, Father God, specialized angels that can be sent into these places of the world, that can be sent into the pockets of persecution that are occurring in China, that can be sent into the underground church that is sprinkled all over North Korea, Father God, that can be sent into the places that are under extreme persecution because of militant armies and some would refer to them as terrorist type armies that are just riddled all across the continent of Africa. Father, we pray for the people that are buried under the rubble in the building that has collapsed, many of which are unaccounted for, indicating that they're probably in the rubble even as we speak. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will send down just as many angels as is necessary, Delta Force angels, angels of light and love, Father, that can come upon them even as they may be trapped within that rubble and just touch them in whatever state of mind that they are in. If they are knocked out cold and they are still breathing, or even if they are passing away, even at this moment, we ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to send those angels into the spiritual realm. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will forgive them for all of their sins. And we ask you, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we ask you also, Father God, for you to place those angels between them and the forces of darkness that might have every right to come against them and to try to snatch them away. But we rebuke them in the name of Jesus. We declare the holy fire of God to shoot down from the heavens and to burn them and scatter them in all directions. And we plead, Father, for your angels to be present by them, if they are awake and aware, or they are in a subconscious state, to call them, to show them the hand of the Lord Jesus and the light and the love and compassion of his smiling face, that they would come to you even now. And if they are passing into the other realm, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, and I pray that everyone that is a part of this program right now is praying with me, not only for these people, but for the people around the world that are suffering similar tragedies. Father, we pray that these angels will stand guard, that they will stand at the ready in the spiritual realm. And at the moment that their soul, indeed their spirit body, is released from the flesh body, that the angels will grab them and take them away from the darkness and take them up to the courtrooms of heaven, where they will be given a chance due to the prayers of the saints that are stored up there that we know about. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, that you will hear these prayers and that you will hold them in that vial precious incense and pull them out and give them that opportunity that they may never have had or maybe rejected at the wrong time because it was presented in a wrongful way. And we pray in Jesus' name that you will save their souls. Send the angels, Father God, into all of the places of the world that are suffering in such a way. Send the angels in the world, Father God, down, your angels, your warrior angels, Father, in the name of Jesus, into the presence of the people that are being persecuted in the lands that are very heavily Muslim in their belief systems, places like places like some of the lands that, you know, the very Lahore, for example, in Pakistan, where if a young person even believes in Jesus and their parents find out about him, they'll throw them into the streets to be stoned. Father, we just pray for the people that are under such persecution. We ask you to send your angels into their presence for those people, Father God, that are suffering persecution wherever they are. We're asking you to set them free, to send your angels into their presence, to bring visions and dreams upon them in the midst of the night, Father God, as your scripture says in Job 33, verses 14 and 15, to steer their path directly to the foot of the cross and to show them the liquid light and love of the Lord Jesus Christ as it flows down from the heavens into their heart and changes them for all of eternity, that they would also be part of our brothers and sisters as we all come together in unity, light, and love. In a time that seems so distant, but is soon to be upon us, may we all, Father, be found worthy by your grace to escape all these things that are about to come upon the earth and stand before you, Lord Jesus. We praise you and thank you for this opportunity to serve you. We thank you for continuing to protect us when we do not deserve it, for continuing to refine us when we do not deserve it, for continuing to be patient and not allowing severe chastening to come upon us when we definitely do deserve it. And we praise you for molding us and shaping us, for continuing to sanctify us and helping us stumble along the crumbly road of our journey. Indeed, a narrow path whose supporting hillside is slipping into the pit. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will steady our path as your scripture promises, as we ask you to help us in every manner, even those of which we are unaware, that we should glorify you and our Father and be better prepared spiritually for the days ahead. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
His faithful words forever stay the same. The money lends, he seeks no selfish gain. The bribe against the innocent is stained. The one who does these things will not be moved. The one who does these things will not be moved. The one who does these things will not be moved.
Jesus, Joshua Messiah, pray thee, please, for our friend and the lover of our soul. Please cleanse, completely and totally purify our heart, our soul, our spirit, our mind, and our flesh, and our record-keeping books in heaven, and our robe and gown in heaven. Purge it. Clean it, wash all the stains away, we pray, into a deep blue sea of your compassionate forgetfulness with your precious blood. And Father, we pray that you purge all of this clean, every part of our existence, every part of our makeup here, in this land that seems so far from the glory of the destination you intend for us. Purge it clean with your holy fire, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that we might glorify thee. Thank you, Father. We clear the air now. Principalities, powers, strongholds, spiritual host of wickedness, rulers of darkness, demons of darkness, spirits of iniquity, spirits of infirmity, you do not belong here. We take command over you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we declare the fire of God to shoot down from the heavens and to purge you out, to burn you into screaming agony, making a public spectacle of you thereof in Jesus' name in accordance with Colossians 2:15. Thank you, Jesus. We sever your heads with the sword of the Spirit in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. We disarm you in accordance with Colossians 2:15. We cancel your assignments against us. Tear up all contracts placed against us. We bind and cast you into the pit, into chains of darkness, unto judgment. Unclean spirits, deaf and dumb spirits in our households, on our property, around about us, anywhere around about us, anywhere attempting to come against us. Spirits of darkness, any entity of the darkness, live or dead human spirit, member of a witch coven that would attempt to come against us or our loved ones. At the very moment that you set your wills against us, we decree in Jesus' name that the holy fire of God will shoot down from the glory pillar and to burn you in the screaming agony. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, that your screams of horror will be heard echoing across the demonic ether, scattering the darkness in all directions. We declare that holy fire to swirl around about us in the midst of a whirlwind of the Holy Spirit to sustain it and to hold it white hot in the name of Jesus Christ, impenetrable, and to be extensible and to move outbound when any weapon is raised against us, earthly or spiritual, any fiery dart is even lifted toward us. In the name of Jesus, we plead with the courts of heaven for the dispatch of warrior angels on our behalf to stand guard around our dwelling places, to follow us wherever we go. We ask you, Father God, for a platoon of Delta Force angels to proactively seek and destroy any attempts to come against us, any attempts to come against our loved ones, as we wait upon you, Father God, for the manifestation
manifestation of the glory of the prayers that we stand in an accord and agreement with. We know that those promises shall be answered. And we praise your holy name and we thank you, Lord Jesus. Keep us long-suffering. Keep us humble and purify us, Father God, that we may be able to keep up the fight. Unhindered before your high holy supreme courts, we give you all the glory. We thank you, Father God, for these days. We thank you, Father God, for the days that we have ahead of us. And we pray that you will continue to strengthen us, strengthen our prayers, strengthen our tactics, and to pour out your spirit upon us in such a way that we are able to walk in the gifts and in the anointing of the gifts of the Spirit, Father God, in a manner that we have never experienced before. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. Any entities of the darkness, we speak to you at this time. Demons of darkness, spirits of iniquity, spirits of infirmity, we command you to leave. You do not have a right to touch us. We are now purified by the blood of Jesus. We have confessed that we are utterly unworthy. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for your purification. No hindrance upon our prayers. In the name of Jesus, full power, command demons of darkness to get out. In the name of Jesus, we declare warrior angels and archangels, including spirits of infirmity, spirits of sickness, you are commanded to leave. Go. Now, in Jesus' name, we declare these angels to place them deafblind, to strike them deafblind and dumb, place them under arrest, cast them into the pit, and we declare the fire of God to permeate the pit and to burn you into screaming, horrific yelps of agony that the darkness will scatter in all directions in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So be it. Into the pit. Hallelujah.
Run deeper, longer, and wider.
This time, I'm using anointed holy oil. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we consecrate ourselves into your complete and total ownership, Lord Jesus. We are yours. Do with us what you will. Whatever you may do, we thank you. We renounce in Jesus' name anything spoken of in the darkness against us. We declare and plead your abundant grace, Father, your living water and crystal river, to flow through the very energies that make up our existence here. We plead your blood, Jesus, to continuously purify us, for we're in a constant state of sin, never fully compliant, always striving. We decree in Jesus' name that no weapon raised against us, earthly or spiritual, shall exist, for we declare your fire, Father, to vaporize it. We rebuke the devil, all demons of darkness, any entity, worker of HaSatan, or live human spirit, member of which coven, or group of members that would attempt to come against us. We declare that your holy fire of God, Lord God, Zechariah 2:5, that fire will be dropped upon them like magnesium napalm, and scatter them in all directions, utterly destroying their encampment, wiping out all of their evil accoutrements, all candles, all books, all grimoires, wiped out in Jesus' name. We break all yokes of bondage, all curses placed against us. They have no effect on us in Jesus' name. We declare that holy fire and a thorny hedge of protection around about us and our loved ones on all sides. We plead for a whirlwind of the Holy Spirit to blow it white hot and to sustain it. Sustain it indefinitely. We pray that our prayers will be surrounded by that holy fire like a fire tornado that will punch through the spiritual realm, right through the darkness that is a layer of filth that lays over the top of the spiritual realm around this earth. And we pray in the name of Jesus that it will punch through it, that the fire will sustain it, that it will scatter the darkness in all directions, Father God, and stay strong, bright, and white hot in Jesus' name. Divine protection, Father God, and we pray again for a platoon of Delta Force SEAL Team 7 angels, Father, the best that you have, to be sent on patrol proactively to go out and ferret out all attempts to come against us or our loved ones that are indirect and that we are unaware of, and to
search and destroy. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we praise your holy name and thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We praise your holy name. Oh, Lord God, we cannot wait. We want to come home, but we know we have a job. We ask for your empowerment. We ask for your peace and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. And thank you, Father. Amen. Praise God. The Courts of Heaven scriptures, some of my favorites. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. You are a royal priesthood right now on this earth. Praise God. This is why in Isaiah 43:25, our Father said, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance and let us work together, contend together, because we are a royal priesthood. Isaiah 43:25, 1 Peter 2:9. We pray for the peoples of the world. As it says in Ezekiel 22:30, so I sought for a man amongst them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me, before the heavens, on behalf of the land, or the continent, or the country, or the city, or the town, or the building, or the people, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. A key scripture, infinitely misunderstood by churchianity. They don't understand it. Matthew 18:18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Binding, as in binding a contract or a clause in a contract. Once the judge, who is our Father, the judge of all, Hebrews 12:22-23. Our Father, once he ratifies that which we raise up before his courts, it is bound. Once it is bound, it becomes law. It supersedes all of the powers of the darkness. It becomes and made in effect and is enforceable. And is enforceable. A law that is not enforced is not a law at all. But how does it become enforced? Because we are given the authority to call down heaven's resources, heaven's power, and heaven's angels into action upon this earth. Let us contend together. These are the dynamics by which our Heavenly Father has established the power and authority that has been given to us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we do not exercise it, it doesn't happen. The saints are dependent upon by the throne room of God. Our job through prayer is probably, bar none, the most important of all those being done on this earth for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. More important than the greatest revival, more important than the largest football stadium full of people being preached to by some preacher, more important than some radio show that's been doing 40, 50 years of talking about the Bible. Nothing is more important than our prayer. It is part of the divine perfect structure and order of the universes. But you have to be able to see this. You have to understand why John 10:34 says, have I not said in your law that ye are gods? If Jesus lives within us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Jesus is part of the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit resides within us. Then what are we a part of? The Godhead. The problem is the church keeps us down. They're afraid to talk about things that they don't understand. They're afraid of being made fun of by their fellow constituency and other pastors and such out there and the little groups that they belong to. I know a lot about this. Not picking on them. They are our brothers and sisters, and they're doing a job, and praise God for everyone who's doing whatever they can for the kingdom. But only those who break free of that containment of understanding and embrace the mysteries of our Bible, which are, you know, it's amazing. It's almost like, you know, we take these things to be self-evident. All we have to do is see the words that are written in the Bible. Ask ourselves the hard questions and avoid the teachings that would hold us back and keep our thoughts pinned down with no authority, no power, no destiny, no changing of major events on the earth. Again, what we have been given, when it's used properly and in accordance with God's will, there are no words in all the universes that can describe that. None. There's no point in it. It's like trying to describe that which cannot be described, period. Thank you, Jesus. John 20:23. I've had pastors try to tell me that this means something other than what it says. I disagree with them. It says what it says, and that's what it says. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, I don't know why you would retain them. I certainly would never have a reason to retain. Now, I understand that the Apostle Paul committed some for their salvation. He committed them to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that they should ultimately cry out to God. For as the scripture says, if I was afflicted, when I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. But I don't even want to be that. I don't want that responsibility. My responsibility is joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, against which there is no law. And to understand the authority of the Lord Jesus that has been given us as a royal priesthood. The fact that even as we are praying, these prayers are being heard in the courts of heaven, directly where Hasatan stood across from the high priest Joshua, accusing him, and our father telling him basically, in so many words, to shut up. He's mine. Daniel 9:19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act, and do not delay. For your own sake, my God, for your city, your people are called by your name. For your own sake. Once again, you see those words. This synergy that exists between us acting as Christ, as a conduit, a funnel for the power of the Godhead to flow onto this earth through our prayer, our decrees, our commands, our offensives against the darkness. This is how things get done on this earth. And this is why, like it or lump it, we're kind of stuck here. Praise God. And again, Isaiah 43:25, I love it. I, our Father says, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I mean, it can't be any more obvious than that. And I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance and let us contend. Let us work together. This is the perfect design of the universes. It goes completely hand in hand with Ephesians 3:20-21, where it says, now to him, the Lord Jesus, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's pretty significant. To be able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That is a string of words that would normally never be put together. The only reason those words were put together to try to translate those words from the Greek into the English is because what it's attempting to describe is indescribable. There is no other writing in the entire world that would put the words exceedingly and abundantly together side by side. Nevertheless, not just those two words, but also what follows it, exceedingly abundantly. And then it adds, above all that we ask or think. So if we can even imagine it, exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So essentially, there is no limit. This is a feeble attempt, really, of translators to translate the impossible. But then the key is, according to the power that works in us, those words, according to the power that works in us, those words are probably, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words. They're probably some 8 of the most important words in the entire Bible. 31,102 verses from the Textus Receptus. According to the power that works in us. It's amazing. Zechariah 3:1-7. Zechariah is looking up into heaven, sees an open heaven vision. And he says, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and the Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. The accuser of the brethren who accuses the brethren both day and night. Why not? That's what he does. But the Lord God said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Said another word, the Lord looked at Satan and said, he's mine. Let him alone. That's what I want the Lord to say in defense of me. Verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Now this is a high priest. I suspect that there was probably very little that Joshua was aware of that would seep him in sin. It was just by virtue of being in the flesh. One of the reasons why the angels will say, unclean! It's beyond our comprehension. Clothed in filthy garments and standing before the angel. Then he, our father, answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away those filthy garments from him. And to him, our father said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you in rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban upon his head. So they put a clean turban on his head. They put clean clothes upon him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you walk in my ways, if you will keep my command, then you will also judge my house. I repeat, judge my house, and likewise have charge over my courts. And I will give you places to walk amongst these who stand here. Wow. Think that's just for him? No, I don't think so. Job, well, back up a second. Zechariah 2:5. For I, saith the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. That fire. Awesome offensive weapon against the forces of darkness. My Bible says, clear as a bell, according to the power that works in us, and that we are a royal priesthood. Sounds to me like that fire is at our disposal. Praise God, which it is. Which it is. Job 1:9-10. So Satan answered the Lord and said, now this is after, you know, our Heavenly Father gave Satan a limited amount of leeway to essentially chasten Job, even though he didn't deserve it. Now, this was done by our Father essentially to train billions, probably, of people across time how the kingdom works. How our Father is in charge of Satan, even when it doesn't seem like he is. Satan himself was astonished when our Father gave Satan some leeway to go after Job, to make a point? Satan said in verse 9, so Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge of protection around him and his household and around everything on every side? Note that it says, on every side. That sounds to me a little bit more than just on the left, on the right, and in front, and in back, and above. It is around. It is a sphere of protection. How that works, I don't know. I know what the word says in the Bible. It says on every side. And when I look down, I see a side. When I look up, I see a side. When I spin around 360 degrees, I see lots of sides. Therefore, when I pray for protection, I pray for it every side. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I love this Proverbs 16:7. This is important for all of us. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now think about this. Notice that it says he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Then what does that imply? If it says he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him, then the implication is that it's inclusive of even those who you might not categorize as enemies. Wow. Spouses and friends and people that you think are coming after you, attacking you, saying bad things about you, these things can go away. First and foremost, seek the Lord with all of your heart. Fill yourself with his love. Ask him to fill you supernaturally with adoration for him. Ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given unto you. Get your priorities in order. Fill yourself. Physician, heal thyself. Make it so that your ways please God. And then trust. For God is not a man that he would lie. Now, I will say this. He takes his time. Maybe it's because he's testing us. The Lord God tests the righteous. Who knows? But don't expect. It's okay to expect a miracle. There's nothing wrong with that. But whatever you do, do not let it discourage you. And keep on praying. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking, keep on reverently knocking, and these things shall be given unto you. We should always pray. I believe the reason that is the case has nothing, I know as a fact, it has nothing to do with a show of lack of faith, and everything to do, I believe with all of my heart, everything to do with pushing your petition up the docket. Have you ever been in a courtroom? Have you ever seen the big stack sitting before the judge as he's dealing with a room full of 30 or 40 people or more? Have you? Maybe not, huh? Well, there is. It's a big stack. Now imagine you're God of all. When God of gods, Yahweh, God of all the universes, God of trillions of life forms, God of trillions of galaxies, it's a big docket, isn't it? Stacks pretty high, huh? Probably a lot of courtrooms. What are the 420 elders doing? And how many people do they have underneath them? I should say gods, not people. It's a lot. It's a lot of courts. It's a lot of activity. As the scripture says, we know that our Father has our petition. But we don't know where it is in the stack, do we? You wonder why what you've been praying for hasn't happened yet. When you understand how it works, it gives you an advantage to push that petition up to the top of the stack. Even then, you'll still have to be patient. Never stop believing. know that it shall come true. Be at peace. Trust. Just totally trust. Praise God. Last but certainly not least, and it isn't even last really, is but you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Now we know that the city of God is in heaven. So if we have come there, we're already in heaven when we're operating in our prayer. The heavenly Jerusalem. So right there it nails it. It is the Jerusalem that is located in heaven. To an innumerable company of angels, to the General Assembly, which is a type of a Congress, to the Church of the Firstborn, who are registered in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all, to spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the Mediator, the Lawyer, the Advocate of the New Covenant, the courts. And this is probably the greatest mystery of all. You will never hear this in any church, ever. As a matter of fact, you'll get rebuked and chased down the road metaphorically with a pitchfork, and maybe someday with a real pitchfork, or worse. The way that a lot of Christians are going nowadays, and you might be getting chased down the road by with an AR-15. Or as it says in John 16:2, they will kick you out of the churches. Oops, it says the synagogue. Same thing, same difference. That's what it means. They will kick you out of the churches. Yes, there will come a time when they kill you and think that they have done God a service. But they do this because they do not know the Father nor me, the love, the compassion, the forgiveness, the power, the authority, and who we are in the universe of beings as essentially minor gods trapped inside of human bodies, royal priests with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ on a mission on a planet that is very fallen and absolutely filled with our fellow brothers and sisters who have not awakened yet. We have a mission. We've been assigned to this planet for now. How many more planets will we be assigned to in the future? Eternity is a very long time. Ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ across all of creation takes on a whole new meaning when you understand the cosmology behind the Word of God. But it's amazing to me that Nehemiah stood before God, the trusted confidant of King Artaxerxes. And he says he's praying before God. I can imagine him standing on a hill above the royal palace, and I can imagine him raising his hands up before the heavens and talking to God and fervently speaking forth, and he's saying, your covenant and your mercy to those who love you, Father, and observe your commandments. Please let your ears be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayers of your servant Nehemiah, which I pray before you now, both day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants. And I, Nehemiah, I confess of their sins, the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against you.
How's that work? How come Nehemiah was able to confess of the sins of the peoples of the lands of Israel on their behalf? Doesn't seem right, does it? It just doesn't fit what churchianity tells us. Oh, but it does fit John 20:23. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. It fits all of the other scriptures. It fits the fact that we are Jesus Christ. It is no longer we who lives, but Christ who lives in us, Galatians 2:20. This is the power. This is the authority. This is who you are as a royal priesthood. What did the royal priests do back in the Old Testament? They burnt, they gave burnt offerings before our Father God for the remission of sins of the people of Israel.
If we are a royal priesthood, then by golly, we have the same authority and the same privilege that Nehemiah did when he confessed to the sins of the peoples of Israel before our Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we abandon ourselves into your hands. And Father, we mean this. There's just no point in even what, there's no point in anything except just wanting what you want for us. There's just no point. Father, we abandon ourselves completely and entirely into your hands. We pray that you will do with us whatever you will. For we know the thoughts that you think about us, not thoughts of evil, but thoughts of good to bring us to an expected end. Psalm 139:16, Ephesians 2:10, hallelujah. And we thank you for this, Father. We proclaim that we are ready for all, although we may be lacking a little bit of faith there, Father, and we ask for an anointing of faith. And we accept all. We pray that your will be done in our lives, and we wish no more than this, Father. Into your hands we commit our soul and our spirit. We offer it to you with all the joy and love of our heart. Thank you, Father, for being a good, good Father. Thank you for being our dear Father. Thank you, Jesus, for crying out in the courts of heaven on our behalf when we're not living up to the standards that we struggle with sometimes. We praise you for your mercy, Father. Thank you. Thank you for remembering that we are dust. We enter into communion.
As your disciples were seated about you, at the eve of unleavened bread, you said, I eagerly yearn for this supper, and that you suffer so its children could be fed. I can only imagine the silence in the room as you passed on the bread to be torn. For they did not understand the reach of his plan. In his love, we were told to rejoice, not to mourn. So we gather, remembering the glory of the Lamb, the one who was slain for the seed of Abraham. As we long for your coming, we imagine the feast, the King and his bride, when our waiting has ceased. As you arose and went back up to heaven, lead to the heavenly course. You lifted the cup of forgiveness. It was paid, it was done. You had covered the cost. And I can only imagine the thunderous sound as though heaven exploded in cheers. We were free from our chains. Now all that remains is to never give in. We are destined to win. So we gather, remembering the healer of our soul, destroyer of death, the Lord of the all, the light in our arms, the edge of our sword, the King of all kings, and the Lord of all lords. For we believe in a land, all of creation restored by his hand, eternity, all is revealed. By the time we remember, all scars will be healed. As we long for your coming, we imagine the feast, the Lord and his bride. When our waiting has ceased, watch and pray, for I would come for you one day. I gave you my word so you would know the time I'd come and take you home. It's time for you to look around. The signs I gave are coming down. Don't be caught asleep and blind. You don't want come and be home. 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 Come and be holy.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. Who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate upon these things. 1 Peter 2:9, Colossians 3:12, Philippians 4:8. Jesus went a little further and he fell on his face, praying, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Matthew 26:39. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by the angels, preached amongst the Gentiles, believed upon in the world, and received up into glory.
1 Timothy 3:16. We pray for purification based upon Psalm 51, 1 through 14. Father, please have mercy upon us. We struggle. According to your loving kindness and that incredible multitude of your tender mercies which we cannot possibly understand, we pray, Father, that you will blot out all of our transgressions. Blot them out that they cannot be remembered ever. Wash us, Father, thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. We acknowledge our sins, our transgressions. They're always before us. Against you, Father, you only, we've sinned and done this evil in your sight. That you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, Father, we were brought forth in iniquity, and in sin our mothers conceived us. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make us to know your wisdom. Praise you. Purge us with hyssop, and we shall be clean. Wash us, and we shall be whiter than snow. Make us hear joy and gladness, Lord, that the bones that you have broken metaphorically, that the trials and tribulations that have beset us, the chastening that we didn't think we could make it through, will bring us to a place of rejoicing. Will bring us to a place of purity. Create in us, Father, we pray, a clean heart, a clean mind, a clean spirit, a clean soul, clean flesh, clean record-keeping books in heaven, clean robe and gown in heaven. Father, renew in us a steadfast spirit. Do not cast us away from your presence or allow us to offend the Holy Spirit. Restore to us, Father, the joy of your salvation and uphold us by your generous spirit. And then we will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will be converted to you, Father. Deliver us from the guilt of our sin and transgressions, Lord God, that we may glorify you in our salvation and sing aloud of your righteousness. Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In that same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Ani, Ladodi, Vidodi Li. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine.
So all that matters, you were born to shine for his kingdom. To die, you lived in our place. You were seeking what was lost. And I know, any place, anywhere that you've been, you were bound to live without sin, regardless of the cost. Yes, I know, you were killed for all that we owe, for the sake of all eternity, you died for me. There was life wherever you touched. You were strong, you were kind, you were just. You were aiming for the goal. And you were smiling, always strong and secure through your word. Like a shepherd guiding his herd, giving shelter to the soul. Cause I know that your word holds power to grow. Through your spirit and serenity, you speak to me. You were hurt for my offense. You were sick for my disease. You were poor for my prosperity. You were strong when I am weak. I praise you, my Redeemer. I praise you, Majesty. You were left by God Almighty to always be with me. And I know I will never be alone. Thank you.
Praise God. I'm going to share with you, I probably have before, probably many times, actually, it's one of my favorite ones, but this is from Behold I Come, Sister Julie Wedby. And what I'm just going to try to, as best as I can, to share this mini testimony regarding, I don't know her personally at all, and I've only had, I had her on the program one time many years ago. So my exposure to her personally is exceedingly limited. But one of the things that I've noticed, and I do pay attention to these things, I read between the lines and I spiritually sense when I have a level of comfort, because as it says in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 14, that we are to judge the prophecies. It's not about judging the prophets, it's about judging the prophecies, you know, to try to discern how much of it was spoken out of the flesh, how much of it was spoken because they hang out on Facebook, how much of it was spoken because they believe certain things that are incorrect, you know, that kind of stuff. That's why we judge the prophecies. We discern them. Now, the reason I brought that up was because over the last, I don't know, half a decade, 6-7 years, I don't know, something like that. As over time, as the prayer vigil changed, you know, because when you learn, like I mentioned before in the testimonial that I did a couple of shows ago, that, you know, you want to learn and you want to grow. And if you think of a tactic or a better way to go after the darkness, then you want to embrace that, blend it into your methods. Why wouldn't you? Okay. Again, you can equate it against, you can measure it against any type of warfare. You don't not learn. If you don't learn in warfare, if you don't get better at what you do, you will be conquered. Simple as that. Okay, war dynamics require dynamics, learning, changing, altering your tactics, your methods in order to stay multiple steps ahead of the enemy, ideally. Praise God. So doing things like you've always done them, or because of the way that a preacher that you sat in front of in their congregation 5, 10, 6, 15, 20 years ago, if that's the way that you were taught and that's the way you're always going to do them, you're going to be wondering probably the majority of your walk why things aren't going the way they ought. But that is the life of pretty much the vast majority of Christianity, or worse. Now, one of the things that I find incredibly amazing, supernatural, but is purely anecdotal in the sense that you just have to take my word for it. I can't prove it. Now, what I can do, or what somebody could do, but no one would want to take the time to do it, would be if you were to, if a person was to go back in time, listen to every single prayer vigil, and make a note of the different tactics and methods of prayer, the use of holy fire, you know, the understanding of the courtrooms, which I came about that understanding through a book that I was supernaturally led to by Robert Anderson, which, by the way, was, now he is a Seven Mountains person. Okay. So, you know, God will use imperfect people. You just have to be able to understand and discern the things that they have right and the things that they have wrong and love them for where they are. It's okay. Okay, that's, you know, that's just how it works. But the Lord supernaturally confirmed to me that that book, it was a mini miracle, clearly. I had never heard of the book before, and I saw it and said, oh, that looks interesting. And I started to read it, and tears were welling up in my eyes because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. So it was a movement of the Holy Spirit upon me, which was very reflective of the fact that I resonated. I mean, my whole body, just body, soul, spirit, flesh, and heart completely resonated. I was like immersed, and I'm like, this is it. Literally within 2 to 3 days after I got point of the book,
My sister in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, sent me a email directly to me with a YouTube video in it from a person by the name of Robert Henderson teaching on how to pray before the courts of heaven. Now, one would naturally think in the flesh that my sister must have been listening to the radio show, must have been listening to the prayer vigil, must have had some advanced understanding or knowledge of where I was in my walk. Else, why would she send it? Unless. Well, the unless was the true part. That was the supernatural confirmation. My sister had no idea. No clue whatsoever. God used her to confirm the direction and the methods and the tactics that I was employing in the prayer vigil and my prayers and my personal prayer life, because how I pray on the prayer vigil is how I pray in the morning. And other times, too, throughout the day, periodically. Now, what's amazing is that there is no collusion, okay? There is no sharing of notes going on between myself and Julie Wedby. There never has been. She isn't a closet listener of Tribulation Now, listening to the prayer vigil and going, oh, wow, that's really neat. I heard what he said in that prayer and it resonated with my spirit. And then she speaks a prophecy and she's really speaking it out of the flesh because of something she heard Johnny Baptist say on a prayer vigil. That is not the case. No way. Not even close. Farthest from the truth, which, by the way, makes it even more astonishing that as I was progressing in my own little way, through my own little supernatural experiences, through my own little thing where the Lord would say to me, you need to read this book. Where, you know, I would just look, I look at titles. I have hundreds of books in my library and I would be flipping around and looking for something, who knows, maybe about giants or something, whatever, or aliens or something on another, whatever. And then all of a sudden my eyes would go boink and I'd just like lock on to this book and I could feel this overwhelming desire to buy it. It was like, you have to buy that book. And I knew it was the Lord. But what's amazing is that I came to all those understandings between me and the Lord in the books that he showed me to read, the supernatural things that occurred and happened to me as I was reading them, the emails that came in from multiple places confirming that the Lord, all that, while all this is taking place, maybe over, I don't know, 6 weeks of time, 2 months of time, more maybe, I don't know. But I would always take the time, even after I realized the seducing spirits had been released in as the Bible says, in an innumerable company of, you know, darkness, the seducing spirits have been released upon mankind. I do believe it happened around the end of the biblical blood moon tetrad on September the 15th of 2015, which is right around the time, believe it or not, that Obama and Fauci were over giving $3.7 million to the Wuhan lab, which was a major weapon used to facilitate the destruction of the Trump presidency and all that other fraud and stuff that happened to the gullible, which we, the vast majority of this country is horrifically gullible. And the other countries in the world, because I've traveled internationally, know it. And if you, as an American over in Germany, for example, have a conversation with somebody in Germany and they figure out that you know what's going on in the world and you're an American, they'll tell you. They'll say things like, what's the matter with Americans? How come they don't get it? I've had those conversations. So over the years, as I was going through my journey and incorporating tactics, prayer styles, methods, warfare, my understanding was changing as I would learn from Satanists that had given their lives to Jesus that used to go into the demonic ether as an assignment from God. And I would read 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, and I would look at it and I would compare it to the Bible, and I would be like, wait a minute. If he can do this, then how come this? If he can do that, then how come that? How come that when I had 6 police cars surrounding my car and I should have gone to jail for 30 years, how come I'm speaking in tongues while I have my hands on the car? How come if Satan can hinder my prayers, how come when I was speaking in tongues, the policeman all just went away and let me go? Because Satan can't hinder your prayers if you're speaking in tongues. But that's something the Satanists didn't know. But I was able to deduce it because I was looking at all of the different things that happened to me when I was in my 20s and all these other, and I'm like calculating them, and I'm like, how does it work? How does this work? But all of these things I came to supernaturally on my own. I didn't read Julie Wedby's Behold I Come prophecies and go, hey, looky there, I can use that in the prayer vigil. It wasn't like that. I was already using it. If you went back and did a timeline, if you went back and extrapolated and made notes on when we were praying a certain way, when I was calling down the holy fire, when these things were being incorporated into the prayer dialogue, okay, if you made notes of those exact days and you made notes of the exact release dates of these various prophecies coming from Behold I Come, and you looked at the actual words that were in there, you would be absolutely positive that we were sharing notes, that we were meeting together in Zoom meetings, and she was saying, well, this is how this works, and I was saying, well, that is how that works, and we were coming together and coming to some sort of an agreement on how things worked, because there was too much synergy. It lined up too perfectly. It had to be collusion, but it wasn't. I'm going to read this to you. This prophecy came out on May the 4th of 2017. Was it released at 1:11 p.m.? I love that, 1:11. The title of it is Your Prayers Are the Most Powerful Weapons of Destruction Against the Enemy. Now, there is so much to be learned from these words, which are a combination of a testimony, a vision, and a prophetic word from the Lord. This is literally, there's so much information that God has given us through this one writing that you could probably do several hours of teaching, particularly if you picked parts of it out, went back and found the brother and sister verses all over the Bible that supported the various parts of it and said, oh my gosh, wow. But I'm just going to go ahead and read this. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And it starts with, and I quote, on Friday, April the 28th, which would have been just about a week before it was published, I was seeking the Lord, Joshua, for answers about prayer because a close friend contacted me telling me that his mother had died suddenly and he didn't know if she was saved. And then she goes on to say, as we all have done at some point in our lives, we question how effectual our prayers are, especially for those who don't know the Lord prior to their passing. They're receiving communion. Father gave me a vision and has led me to share it, as it brings great consolation to all who may question the power of prayer, especially the prayers of the righteous. And by the way, there's scriptures that are greatly understood where Paul's, talking to the church of Corinth about, hey, you guys are baptizing the dead, and, but he never admonished them. He never told them that they shouldn't do it, by the way. If you read it, if you search on those words, baptizing or baptizing the dead, if you go to Google and just type baptizing the dead, and you could probably type the word Bible, it'll take you right to the scriptures and you can read about it and get it in context. Why in the world would they do that? You're about to find out. And by the way, there's so many other testimonies. I mean, it's endless. But people don't receive it because it's not what they were taught in churchianity. So it just blows over there. Oh, that was an amazing miracle. That must have been an exception to the billions of rules that I've been taught. No, it's the other way around. The billions of rules that you were taught were wrong. All right, praise God. This is amazing. So anyway, she says, directly after receiving communion, Father gave me a vision and has led me to share it, as it brings great consolation to all who may question the power of prayer, especially prayers of the righteous. Then she was given a vision. In my vision, I was in Father's courtroom. Okay, so right here, it goes into a description of her being in the vision in our Heavenly Father's courtroom. Now, I was already praying in the courts of heaven. I was already talking about these scriptures. You see what I'm saying? And I had never heard this. I'd never seen this. I had no idea, none of that. And there's no way she was listening to the prayer vigil and going, oh, wow, I'm going to have a vision at our Father's courtroom. That is not how it worked. This was a supernatural confirmation, but it's pregnant with supernatural confirmations, which is makes it even 10 times more amazing. I was in our Father's courtroom, standing in the back, watching how Father God sees an unsaved soul and determines his or her destiny. I saw a man, a lost soul, standing directly in front of our Father with his head hung very low and his eyes closed. I understood that he instinctively knew that he was guilty as charged and had no defense, as his life of sin was directly before him. Satan, the adversary, was on the left with many demons to testify of the man's guilt, and the saints who had gone before were on the right to present the testimony of all of the prayers of the saints that have been recorded to intercede for the lost. Very important point. She goes on to say in her vision, although the evidence from the enemy was more than sufficient to convict the man, the prayers of the saints outweighed anything the enemy could present. Our Father's love for his people is beyond measure and takes precedence over any of the enemy's will that the enemy will ever be able to levy against us. Okay, she says that Jesus, Joshua, was on the man's right side, a distance away observing. He did not speak. He waited to see if the man would invite him into his heart so that he could intercede as the man's advocate, covering the man with his robe of righteousness and his shed blood. Our Father then allowed me to understand that in his infinite mercy, and because the hearts of his chosen are one with him, that he would allow this man to choose at the last instant his son Jesus, although the man had not previously confessed him as Lord and Savior. Vision ends. Then the prophetic voice of the Lord moves through Julie, and she says, quote, I wish my people to know, daughter, tell them, there is no greater commandment than to love one another. As one heart in me, you are charged to assist me in saving souls. For I came to seek and save the lost. You are my priests. Stop. I had already been reading on the prayer vigil. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. That was already a part of the prayer vigil, already happening, real time. She wasn't listening to it and going, oh, I should prophesy this. It's not how it works. Completely unrelated. Major supernatural confirmation. She goes on, she's speaking, yea, saith the Lord. She says, you are my priest. The Lord said through her, you are my priests, and it is your hands to walk in the fullness. It is in your hands to walk in the fullness of all you were purposed for. There is no greater joy for my Father than to bring my lost sheep home. I have commanded you to pray for those who are hardened to me. Pray for those who are in deception and therefore in despair. Pray for those the enemy steals, that their spiritual eyes and ears may be open to the relationship of which I have for them. Come before me in holiness and purity daily, confessing your sins and asking for forgiveness. Now, notice how this is read. I'm going to read this once again. Very important. Always something to learn. On the 75th time you read it, you'll get something new. That's what happens when – that's one of the ways that you know that the word is coming from the Lord. If you're reading something that is very repetitive and just simply appears to be, I don't know, scriptural references being repeated in the form of yea, saith the Lord, there isn't a spiritual synergy in that scripture. That scripture – in that prophecy. You can accept, you can love it, you can hug it, you can pray for them and all that other stuff, but it isn't a supernatural manifestation of a mystery of God's kingdom. It is when you are hearing things that are new, things that you are, and you're going, oh, I feel it. Hallelujah. I know this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's when you are hearing the greatest stuff, the mysteries and the power, the authority, the glory that God wants you to walk in his fullness. She continues to speak. The Lord continues to speak through her. Come before me. Now listen, come before me in holiness and purity daily, confessing your sins and asking forgiveness. Now, wait a second. Let's look again. This is so gushing with meaning. Come before me, how? In holiness and purity daily. But what are you doing in holiness and purity? Confessing of your sins and asking forgiveness. But wait, how can I be holy and pure if I'm confessing of my sins? Ah, no mystery. This is part of our walk. It's the moment that you think that you don't have sin is when you are in presumptuous sin, and then you are an affront to the Lord. The Father goes on to speak, your temples, my vessels, must be free of willful sin for me to answer your petitions. Intercede on behalf of all who walk in the darkness, for I wish that no one would perish. Do not underestimate the power of your prayers when your hearts are in unity with me. I have given you all power, authority, and dominion over the enemy, and you must exercise your authority. You loose on earth is loosed in heaven, and what you bind here is bound also in my kingdom. Here's Matthew 18:18. Boldly come before my throne of grace and expect great things. Trust in the promises that I have given to you in my word. Pray without ceasing. Fast and travail with great love and concern for the salvation of all who were created by me. Plead my blood constantly, for in this the victory is already won. Proclaim verbally my truths, and Satan will flee. It is time for my church to walk in the fullness of the power and the authority given to her by my life sacrifice. So as you are seeing the manifestation of evil upon evil in the earth, allowing this to be your war cry, passionately present your petitions to me as each and every utterance with my love in your heart, my glorification being the motive, has great value in my kingdom. I have spoken these words to you previously. As the dark grows darker, my bride rises higher. Believe my power in and through you is a weapon of great destruction to the enemy's camp. Very soon you will see the importance of what I am speaking. Joshua. Praise God. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
My rising up, you are.
Heavenly Father, we come before your high holy supreme courts of heaven. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will sanctify us. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will place a clean, rich, white robe upon us that we may be found worthy to stand before you. We glorify in you, Father, and we pray as a royal priesthood, Father, that you will hear our prayers and petitions on behalf of the land. For we stand in the gap on behalf of the land and pray for those, Father, who do not know better, and pray for those even who might. O Holy Father God, who art in heaven, hallowed and awesome is thy name. Lord, we come before you. Father, we lift up a golden cup of forgiveness before your throne and we pray. Please, Father, pour out this golden cup of forgiveness upon every man, woman, and child of every nation, tribe, and tongue of the lands of Africa. From the northern sides of Egypt and Morocco, Father, to the southern sides of Johannesburg, from the far western sides of Ghana, to the far eastern sides of the Sudan. Father, in the name of Jesus, pour out this golden bowl of forgiveness, Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, hallelujah. We praise your holy name. For we know your will, Father God, you would want not one to perish. And we pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As your servant Nehemiah did in chapter 1, verse 6, on behalf of all of Israel, as a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2:9, on behalf of your kingdom. Father, we confess of the sins of the peoples of the lands of Africa. We confess of the sins of the good and the bad. We confess, Father God, and we pray, O Lord, thy God, our Father God, praise your holy name, and we pray that you will please forgive them. We break all generational and bloodline curses on their behalf through every branch of their family trees. We pray, Father God, that you will forgive the sins of their first fathers and their father's fathers until before there was time. Father, forgive all of the peoples, even if but for a time, across all of the lands of Africa, that we may have a breakthrough, a supernatural breakthrough by your mercy, Father, in the name of Jesus, in accordance with thy will. We part the spiritual realm as the Red Sea above the lands of Africa in the name of Jesus for safe passage for heaven's angels, heaven's resources, and heaven's power to flow freely and unhindered into the lands of Africa to touch the souls, the spirits of these people, Father God, across these lands. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, and we pray that you will allow your forgiveness and mercy to flow like a soft October snow upon all of them, Father. At this time, deep into the night. Principalities, powers, and strongholds, spiritual hosts of wickedness, and rulers of darkness in high places above the lands of Africa, we come against you. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, and by the blood of the Lamb of God, we decree fire swords of cherubim to be launched down from the heavens and to cut you into pieces. In the name of Jesus, we declare fire of God to launch down from the glory pillar in the throne room of God to burn you into screaming and utter agony, scattering the darkness in all directions in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we declare and plead with the courts of heaven for an innumerable company of angels, warrior angels, fully clad in the armor of God, diamond tip sword, sharp as razor blades, diamond covered shields of faith, helmets of salvation. Father God, in the name of Jesus, send your angels, archangels, to follow into the spiritual realm above the lands of Africa to wage war against these evil demons of darkness and principalities in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, to strike them deaf, blind, and dumb, place them under arrest, cast them into the pit, and to wage war against them such as never been seen since before there was time. Unclean spirits, deaf and dumb spirits, anything that cannot call Jesus Christ its Lord and Savior, binding or hindering the hearts and the minds of the lost across all of the lands of Africa. Strong men, come forth. We have loosed your legal rights to these people now, and we command you to release them now. Come forth
In the name of Jesus, we declare the dispatch of hundreds of trillions of legions of warrior angels upon the peoples of the lands of Africa to strike these demons deaf, blind, and dumb, to place them under arrest, and to cast them into the pit. We declare the fire of God to weld the pit shut, and we plead, oh Lord, that your blood will just seal those pits, Father God, seal the pits where the demons reside, for only the Lamb of God can break the seals. And we declare the fire of God to permeate the pit and to burn them into screaming agony, making a public spectacle of them. Colossians 2:15. Hallelujah. Holy Father, we declare and plead with your courts for a whirlwind of the Holy Spirit intermingled with your holy fire to surround around about on all sides every man, woman, and child, the good and the bad, of the lands of Africa, even if but for a time. Let nothing unclean re-enter the clean swept house. Father, please, in Jesus' name, pour out your living water, the crystal river, and your manifold grace deep into the hearts, deep into the souls, deep into the spirits of all of the peoples of the lands of Africa, from the north to the south, to the east to the west, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you may be glorified, Father. Fertilize the soil of their hearts, that they shall receive the seeds of these prayers. These prayers will bear fruit, and the fruit will remain. John 15:16. Father, we plead and pray for the dispatch of hundreds of trillions of legions of ministering angels of light and love to come upon these people in dreams, in visions of the night when deep sleep falls upon men, to save their souls from the pit and to seal their instruction in accordance with Job 33:14-15. Hallelujah. Father, in open and standing visions of the day, we pray for miracles in their lives. We pray for manifestations of incredible, impossible things to happen to them, for healings, for divine touches of your glory, Father God, for manifestations of the presence of angels before their very eyes, Father, that their children will walk through their villages and speak in tongues. We're praying for miracles to fall upon the peoples of the lands of Africa at this time, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Raise up a greater remnant bride than has ever been conceived since before there was time. In the name of Jesus, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Hallelujah. Father, we come before your throne of grace on behalf of every man, woman, and child of every nation, tribe, and tongue across all of the continent nations of the lands of South America. Father, we hold up a golden cup of forgiveness to your throne, and we pray thee, Father, please pour out this golden cup of forgiveness upon all of the peoples of the lands of South America, from Venezuela and Colombia all the way to the southern sides of Paraguay and Uruguay, all the way over to the east, or to the west coast, Chile, and Father God, just touch all Peru and Argentina on the west, or on the east side, and Brazil. Father, we pray, pour out this golden cup. Pour out your forgiveness upon them. Allow the holiness of your fresh water of cleanse, just purity, Father God, to cleanse them of all of the filth of their iniquity as you have cleansed us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We part the spiritual realm as the Red Sea above the lands of South America now in the name of Jesus, for heaven's, for safe passage for heaven's angels, unhindered passage for heaven's angels, heaven's resources and heaven's powers, heaven's archangels in the name of Jesus to come upon the demons of darkness upon our command and our decree in the name and with the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Principalities, powers, and strongholds, spiritual host of wickedness and rulers of darkness in high places above the lands of South America, we come against you. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb of God, we declare fire swords of cherubim to shoot down from the heavens and to cut you into agony. We declare fire of God to launch down from the heavens and to burn you into horrific screams that will scatter the darkness in all directions. And we decree in Jesus' name for the dispatch of hundreds of trillions of legions, an innumerable company of warrior angels accompanied by archangels to enter into the spiritual realm above the lands of South America to wage war against these such as never been seen since before there was time. Unclean spirits, deaf and dumb spirits, anything that cannot call Jesus Christ its Lord and Savior. We have loosed your legal rights to the peoples of the lands of South America. Come out now, strong men, out, subordinate spirits. Release them now. We declare hundreds of trillions of legions of warrior angels to descend upon thee and to strike you deaf, blind, and dumb, place you under arrest, and cast you into the pit. We declare the fire of God to weld the pit shut and to permeate the pit and to burn you into screaming agony. Hallelujah. And we plead the blood of Jesus to seal the pit, for only the Lamb of God can break the seals. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Even if but for a time, Father, breakthrough. We declare in the name of Jesus and plead with your courts, Father God, for a holy fire, a thorny hedge of protection, and a whirlwind of the Holy Spirit to blow it white hot and to encapsulate them on all sides. Let nothing unclean re-enter the clean swept house. Father, we pray in Jesus' name for an outpouring of the living water, the crystal river, your abundant grace to flow deep into their hearts to fertilize the soil, that they shall receive the seeds of these prayers. These prayers will bear fruit. The fruit will remain in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father, we declare and plead with your courts, Father, for the dispatch of hundreds of trillions of legions of angels of light and love, an innumerable company of your presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Lord and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ to come upon them and call them each by their own individual names deep into the night to come before you, to feel your love, as many of us may not even have felt ourselves. O Lord, our God, we pray that you will have mercy upon all of the souls of the lands of South America and touch them as you see fit. For we know what your will is. You would want not one to perish. And we pray that you will send these angels down, Father God, with a mission to touch these people, that they shall hear, that they shall feel, that they shall experience, that there will be an apocalypse, a revealing of the Lord Jesus in their dreams and visions. Father, in such a manner that has never been experienced in any of their lives before. We praise you, Father God, for you alone are worthy. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving us of our sins. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We praise you, Father, for your mercy. Your mercy does endure forever. We have to remember that every day that we strive here is one more day of incredible grace that we do not deserve. Thank you, Father. Strengthen our hearts, strengthen our faith, strengthen our ability to see, to feel, to experience, and to be you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We'll see you all next Friday, Lord willing.
Lord, we come to you with repentant hearts. We seek you with all our might. Sinners at the mercy of grace, redeemed we are by your embrace. Praise his holy name. Praise the King of Kings. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? For you we will endure until you come back for your bride to set her free. Write our names in your book of life. We are cleansed through your holy sacrifice as we lift your name on high. Renew our mind, renew our soul, remove the scars from our past, and deem us righteous. We rebuke all deceptive lies. When will your coming be?
When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. We are the branches on a living tree. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. Until you come back for your bride to set her free. Watch us as we trim our wicks. Our lamps are full, our hearts are right. Like those five wise virgins, we will be. Your bride awaits thee patiently. Longing for that blessed sound, the dead will rise, the churches gather. We're praying that we're worthy, Lord, to join our family. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? We will endure, and while we wait, we will bring forth the fruit of the light of Christ. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. Until you come back for your bride to set it free.